Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is Steve at Groomer Talk Radio, and welcome to the first show using our new system at Blog Talk Radio. And believe me, there's a lot that I've been having to learn here to operate this. But thank you for coming. We're starting today with Jeff Andrews of Northern Tel Sharpening. But first, I wanted to make a few announcements, and then we'll bring Jeff in. If you're going to have a question for Jeff, I believe if they haven't given you those instructions, what you will be able to do is hit the number one on your telephone, and that will put you in line here for you to get connected to Jeff when we get to that point. So you'll just hit the number one on your keypad. Give that a try. That is what I'm told will put you in line for the queue, and we will eventually unmute you so that you can talk with Jeff. We wanted to first go over a couple things here. That we have the Crystal Winners, the Crystal Cardinal Crystal Awards. We wanted to give big thanks and congratulations out to Mary Aquindo. She was also working with Sue Pratt and Lisa Correa. They won the David G. Salzberg Award for their work with the hurricane assistance. And that hasn't ended yet, and we're going to have Mary. A lot of you, by the way, would know her as Working Chihuahua over at Groomer Talk. She's been a member there for a long time and a GroomWise blogger. You'll be able to talk with her, and she's going to give us more information. That is going to be coming up in a few weeks, though. In the meantime, we also want to congratulate everyone else who won a Cardinal Crystal Award this year. We also want to remind people at the calendar at petgroomer.com. You can just go to petgroomer.com, look for the calendar button. There are going to be several appearances of Jay Scruggs and Sue Zecco. And Sue also did the cover for next week's debut of eGroomer Journal. They're going to be in Las Vegas July 23rd. Well, they were just in Las Vegas. What am I saying? But they're also going to be in September in Overland Park, Kansas. October 7, they'll be in Michigan. And in October 21, they're going to be in Hollywood. If you're in those areas, look up superstylingsessions.com. You can get tickets at groomerschoice.com, including the preferred seating arrangements that they have. Sounds great. We also have coming up the All-American Grooming Show, August 15th, and followed by Hershey. So we're getting into the peak of the trade show season, and we'll be having chat lines on all of those shows. What else? We have more Groomer Talk Radio shows that are planned every other Monday. This is our first one on Blog Talk Radio. We're seeing how it goes. Then we will have guests starting August 12th with Christine Sertzel. Most of you would know her as Wendy Way Cavaliers. She's been a member for quite a few years, also a GroomWise blogger. She's going to bring a lot of interesting information about, well, she's just a very busy person in the Wisconsin Association of Professional Pet Stylists. Then on August 26th, Ellen Ehrlich, also been a GroomWise blogger and member of Groomer Talk for some time. She's got a new book, The Successful Pet Groomer. On August 26th on this show, she will be talking a lot about that book. We're going to focus on that. It's not just for mobile grooming this time around. The Successful Groomer covers all formats of grooming occupation. Then on September 9th, another GroomWise blogger and popular member of Groomer Talk, Party Central, Deb Hilly. She'll be on this show. September 23rd, one of the quintessential researchers for us. We just love her research. I think everyone does, and what a great blog. Barbara Bird will be here talking with us and answering your questions. Then on October 7th, Mitzi Hicks of the Golden Paws is going to be here. That's a chain of schools. She has a great story and services to help others even open up a school. So we'll also be having on that extended show Danelle German from the National Cat Groomers Association. So it's all about schools, and we're going to be covering with Danelle specific to cat grooming. Mitzi will, of course, cover pet grooming in general. And then finally, it is October 21 when Mary Aquindo will be with us. And I think it's the Groomers Emergency Assistance Fund. And so we're going to find out more about that. And I guess it's become an ongoing thing. And I just want to learn a lot more about it, too, because I wasn't sure whether that was just for the Hurricane Sandy. But I'm great to see that it's going to be continuing forward. So be sure to listen with Mary that show. Then what else is coming up? Right around the corner, late this week, we have another Pay It Forward contest starting. Those are becoming quite popular, and in fact, I've been announcing on the board until at least the end of the year, every month, some great clipper companies have come through to give us these Pay It Forward contests. A Pay It Forward meaning you win a clipper for yourself, and you get to pass on a clipper. Great opportunity. Lobby clippers will be our first one starting in August. September, October, we're going to have wall clippers. Not just sure yet about the December one, but that's coming up. And what else is fun? If you guys haven't seen, we posted a picture of Katie Calkins. She was the grand prize winner of this year's Double K Ultimate Groomer Rags to Riches contest. She took a picture of the UPS driver, or probably a big truck driver with a large truck, delivering her an entire pallet of prizes. You know all they get besides the cash. And that was just a great picture, Katie. This guy is wheeling in quite a pallet stacked pretty darn high of prizes. So if you haven't seen that, it's over in General Talk over at petgroomer.com at the Groomer Talk message board. So let's go ahead and I'm going to attempt to bring Jeff in here. Jeff, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you good, Stephen. Can you hear me now?
Oh, that's good. Yeah, I can hear you perfect. And everyone, like I said, this is my first time with this whole new studio board that I'm working with, but it looks like it's working good so far.
You're doing a great job. I can hear you. Okay. But we can hear some callers, you know, when you bring them in, too.
Yes, well, I do have some callers already that will be coming aboard with us. So everyone, like I said, I don't always know if they have a question for you. It is my understanding that callers that want to ask a question hit the number 1 on your telephone handset, and that will like raise your hand. That's my understanding. Jeff, why don't we go ahead and just tell people a little bit. You are Northern Tail Sharpening. How many years have you been sharpening, by the way?
Almost 20 years. I started out as a groomer in the 80s and got into the 90s, and we just couldn't find anybody to sharpen our stuff correctly. And so wife said, why don't you just go to school for this? You're smart. Huh? I said, all right. So I went and had the best people in the country train me at that time. And this was up in Grayling, Michigan. I got a shop and boarding facility up there, too. And the circle just, she started telling her friends because nobody could get anything sharpened. And the circle got bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And all of a sudden, it overwhelmed me. I mean, I just got known all over Michigan, all over northern Wisconsin, and started the mail-in service and got known all over the United States, especially with this website and another website. People all over the world know me. And with the information I have on my website, you know, I put so much stuff on there. It's sad that I have to put stuff like that on there so because people maybe they're not being trained right today, but I try not to, you know, have them reinvent the wheel, bang their head against the wall. I put how to clean blades, how to repair clippers. Sometimes you know, they're not taught this. I was taught that. When I went to grooming school in 81, and we had to pull out of our clippers to clean them. They showed us everything. But today, I don't know if they do that or not. So I put all that information on there. Clipper schematics, different topics like ceramic blades and things that nobody knows. And sharpeners go to my site, too. I get calls from sharpeners. How do you find out all this stuff? It's just pain. What I do. You know, when something malfunctions on me or breaks down, I find out why. I just don't hand it to somebody. It's, you know, I'm an old school groomer, so we had to learn how to fix our own stuff. And it's been up with me for over 30 years. And even in the shop over here we got, it's those girls over there, they learn how to take care of their own stuff. They look for problems. They clean their blades every night. I sharpen them 2-3 times a year. So it's helping out. And I try to promote that so people can save some money. You know, the economy is so bad now that, you know, you don't want to get sharpened every month. You can prevent that. You can prevent your equipment from failing by doing some preventive maintenance. And that's the big thing. You know, you don't want to wait till it stops, you know, and then look around because you can't work. So take care of it every month, cleaning your blades, oiling them, putting that coolant away. It's all good for success, and I've proven that so many times. But that's me in a nutshell. I went from being a mobile sharpener. I went to 5 states when I moved down here after Katrina, and I'm just doing mail-in now. I've given all my mobile customers to local sharpeners around different areas, and trained a few of them, and went from there. So I'm just doing the mail-in, sit here, we'll watch my big screen TV and air conditioning, and just doing the stuff coming in. In fact, it's 107 degrees down here if anybody's feeling cold.
that's hot. And but let me ask, now, you're also a capable pet groomer, correct?
Oh, yeah.
You've been a groomer. And so what started first, the grooming or the sharpening?
The grooming. Yeah, I had two groomer wives in my life, and I got taught old school ways, you know, how to groom a dog fast. I can't do all breeds. I can't scissor anymore. But they taught me the right way of doing things. And the shop down here, the girl that runs it for me, she's been grooming 40 years. One of the best scissors I've ever seen. And I don't know why she's not making money being on the circuit or doing whatever, but she just loves pet grooming, and there's anywhere from 20 to 30 dogs a day over there. One of the biggest shops.
Jeff, do you feel being a groomer gives you even more insight to be a better sharpener?
Yes, because and I see stuff that I get in the mail all the time. And I look at this equipment sometimes, and I say, why did this guy sharpen this and give it back to him? You know, it's going to fail. Give him a blade back that's all completely ground to nothing and giving it back to somebody. And I think they do that because they were given that blade. I'm not going to sharpen something that's going to fail or it's worn out. I'll call somebody and say, look, these scissors are worn out. I mean, they're past. They should have been replaced a year ago. And he said, well, they keep sharpening them. They keep folding the hair in the tips. Well, yeah, there's not enough blade left to cut through dog hair with it. It's going to fold its tips. And blades that are come in with nothing left to the rail and want to know why they failed, or blades that come in with dirty, gritty blades. And they said, well, the last guy who sharpened them, they just quit working after about 6 inches on the dog, and I can see why. You know, they're not clean. So, you know, I look at all the stuff that I ship back out, I make sure that I would use it. You know, I'm not going to ship something back to somebody that's going to fail. I'm not going to ship something back to somebody that's broken or something that can't, like scissors, if they're too pointy, I'll grind the tips back to them. Half the time, the groomers don't know they can be done. And I wrote an article on that. It's on there. It's called Scissor Conditions, where you can actually see what needs to be done to make these scissors cut. These older scissors that have been sharpened for years and years and years, the blades are thin, and they're like especially 10-inch scissors. I know they're gonna fold on thicker hair, so I bring the tips back a little bit. They work fine, and I tell them about it. I give them that article to read, say why I did it. So there's a lot of insight here on the stuff that comes in. You know, it's conditioned. If it's old, it's still got rail, yeah, it's some great stuff. Sometimes I replace sockets that are broken or bent, or I don't charge them anything for that. I buff all the scissors to make them look new. I get rusty scissors in here that have been sharpened like from somebody else, and I make them look new again. Because I don't want to have a rusty scissor being sent back to me. It's been done. It's been done years ago, and I don't want to do that. So I take pride in what comes out of here. I put myself in their shoes. If I'm using, you know, their stuff goes back to them, I'll use it. You know, I'm not going to ship something back to somebody that I can't take down a block and use in my own shop. So if it's going to be 100% when it comes back. And I have a good reputation. I get emailed all the time, oh, this stuff works so great. Never did before. Well, I know why it didn't, before. Maybe you didn't know why it did before, but I know why it didn't before. It wasn't set up properly. And in our shop here, I might mention this, we have three computer-controlled blade machines, the best on the market, made by Shop Incorporated. And if one blade cuts, they'll all cut. It's a completely automated machine. It takes the amount off that needs to be out and lifts it off the plate. Tension is set automatically. It's kind of a no-brainer. There's no technique involved in this. I could train somebody to put blades on and, feed the blades into the machine, but nobody wants to do that but me. But we do have a crew down here that I have two people that help me break this stuff down and, the blades, take the blades apart, clean them, and inventory the boxes. We take pictures of everything that comes in. That's something nobody else does. We do that for security reasons in case something gets broke. The way the post office is today, our post office don't even work on Saturday and Sunday. The sorting center, which collects boxes, they used to have 20 people 2 years ago. Now they got 9. So if a box falls off the cart on the way to the truck, I doubt he's going to pick it up. He's going to kick it all the way to the truck. So when stuff comes in, we take a picture of everything. We lay it all out, take a picture of it. Maybe somebody thought they sent us something. Well, the picture says, no, you didn't. Or, if it's damaged, we could send somebody a picture to send to wherever the carrier was, and they could, get their money. So,
and Jeff, there's even groomers today that are starting, because with these little webcams, are starting to take pictures of every pet when it comes in, just in case they have a certain situation that comes up with a client to say, no, your pet came in like in such and such condition. Whereas, if that doesn't exist, they can say it's your word against my word. Very interesting to be what you can do today, but take these pictures ahead of time before providing services.
Well, we never took them ahead of time. We take them afterwards, every dog. One lady came in a few months ago, Dan was telling me about this. She said, oh, that dog don't look good. Isn't the way it was groomed, like you always groom it. We pulled up a picture of it a couple times before that. She said, yeah, that's the way my dog, should look. That's the way it was. That's your dog today,
Right.
They really don't know. But, yeah, we take pictures over there all the time. It really helps. It helps when you don't know what to do with it, and you bring up the picture, see how the dog, where the lines are on the dog and everything, especially something different off the wall that you haven't done before, or if a dog that another groomer will do, and you want to know what you did last time. We don't have cards anymore. That's a thing of the past. Everything's computerized now. I'm an old schooler. I got to have that card, but it's all on computer now. And there's three stations over there. There's one in the office, one at the desk, and there's one on the back grooming table. You can always go, pick a picture of a client or whatever, and what's been done with it, or if the dog is sick. One thing we do that I don't know a lot of people do. Whenever we bring a dog in, we put hands on that dog. We go all over the dog for the hands. We find a lot of things wrong with dogs, injuries, tumors. One day, it was a Saturday morning, it was 6 months ago or so, I went over to this old hound dog, and he had two ticks on him that were as big as my thumb. And we weren't going to take the ticks out. He came in for a bath and brush, and we said, no, you better go to the vet and get these ticks taken off him. And she didn't even know the ticks were on there. And I went all over the old dog with my hands. We do that, to find those things like that. Or if he's hurt in the legs or anything like that, you grab your legs. Because sometimes they'll blame you for something. Oh, you kicked my dog off the table or something. Well, no, he came in with a hurt leg. You find it right there at the desk. And when you're checking him in, you'll find it right there. And smart enough, we don't do a dog with a hurt leg or anything like that. So we don't want to get blamed or vetted or anything like that.
The pre-inspection process is so important to your liabilities and just providing the service. I think, by the way, for people with a little interest in that, over at Pet First Aid and Care, the blog by Mary Aquindo, she had a really good blog post at one time on the pre-inspection. And I know that had already made a big impact in my family's business. And even in our floor plans now over at Grooming Business in a Box, when you start having 1,200 to 2,000 or more feet, we even work in an inspection table right there at the front counter to just really hit home. We do pre-inspections. You know, you save yourself a lot of trouble, potential, you know, liabilities and all by doing that inspection. And of course, one of the best ways to build your marketability in the with getting referrals from vets is to, we would write the reports and send them off to the vets, and the vets really appreciated that we were doing such professional inspections and sending business their way. And boy, we got a lot of vet return business just from that because of following that pre-inspection procedure. But, Jeff, let's get back to sharpening here. I'm going to check, again, here I am, first time on this, what they call the studio board. I've got a caller in the 239 area code. I want to try opening, this will be my first opening line for someone here, and see if they have a question. Hold on, Jeff.
All right.
Hi, hello. I'm here.
Hello, what's your name and where are you from?
I'm Judy, and I am in Florida.
Hello, Judy. Thanks for coming to the show. Did you have a question for Jeff?
I did. Jeff, hi. I appreciate the wonderful service that you do, and doing the program tonight is really just a real bonus. I'm just thinking about the 5-in-1 blade, and I wanted to know what you think about the canned air, the kind of stuff that you would use on a computer to blast out hair and things like that. Do you have a thought?
Well, canned air is a load of hair.
Correct, yes.
Load of hair out of the spring deck and underneath the cutter?
Yes.
Yeah, I'd use it. I would use that.
Okay.
Sometimes it's simpler to stick something to stick underneath that cutter, but blowing the hair out of it. In fact, you can cool the blade with it, too. Just turn that can of air upside down and shoot the back of that blade. But that blade doesn't get hot, really, because there's a lot of plastic in it. But I use canned air in the shop. I'm doing something nasty. Like a matted chow or something like that, the blades heat up immediately. So I just use canned air. I don't use coolant.
No, definitely no coolant.
Yeah.
I do use a zip tie, and I've got a little, you know, toothbrush handy as well. But I just was wondering about the canned air as an extra. Okay.
While you're on the phone, let me ask you what you're doing with that blade. What, you use a lot of guard combs on it?
Yes, primarily. Well, I bet probably 50-50.
Okay. Okay, what position do you put that blade in when you use a guard comb?
All the way up.
All the way open in 9 position?
No, the other way.
Oh, 40 position?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Sometimes, I've been working with that blade for about 15 years when it first came out with the Arcos. You remember the Arcos?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I got probably 5 or 10 of them around here with duct tape all over them. Because the minute you... that you drop them, they just split apart. And I noticed something over the years. Years ago, you could drop the Arco, and that blade would pop off of there. You'd never break a tab on it. Never, ever. You know, or one of those posts on the side that hold it on. And within the last 10 years, they break all the time. I get a lot of those blades in here for refurbishing, and I'm always changing spring decks on them. That's that black part that holds the spring. And I don't know what the deal is. Years ago, they didn't break. Now they break all the time. Just dropping them on the table. We got a Kramato over in a shop over there. She just dropped it on the table and it popped off, broke the tab on it, just on the table. So,
shoot.
Yeah, and they're sometimes in the 40 position. I kind of caution people. I sent a suggestion sheet out, but I took a new blade out of a package one time, and I put it in the 40 position, and half the teeth were hanging over the end. This is a brand new blade package.
Uh-huh.
In my suggestion sheet that I give back to everybody, I suggest that you back it off one notch. And so you can guarantee that all the teeth are behind the end of the comb. You know, you're not, that'll slice the dog in a second. It'll slice you in a second.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Oh.
Yeah. It's nasty. And in 9 position, a lot of people swear by it. That's a wide open position. But as these things, you can take a new blade out of the package and it'll cut with a guard comb in the 9 position for a couple of weeks. And then that spring, gets the temper comes out of it. It gets loose from being worn. And then all of a sudden, when you're hitting that hair on it, it pushes that cutter back so the teeth aren't in them slots in the bottom blade. I noticed that.
Oh.
And it'll act like it's chewing the hair up, and you think it's dull. It's really not. It's just that the teeth are being pushed back from all the hair. And a new blade won't do that, but one that's been used in service for a little will do that. It just wears out. You know, it doesn't wear out. The springs lose their temper, lose their tension or whatever. And so I suggest to people not to go into the nine position, just use the first notch back. I can't tell the difference in it. The first notch back, nine position, all the teeth are in there, no matter if you're pushing on it or not, all the teeth are in the slot. And now you're going to go look at your blades and look at that, and you'll see what I'm talking about. Just open it up to the nine, you'll see just the very tips of the teeth are in those slots on the bottom. And it works good, but you get a lot of hair going in there, something tough. Drop coat dog, or you're doing some legs or something with it, you can push that cutter back just enough where it won't cut, and you'll think it's dull. Just something to think about. You know, I'm
going to look, because I do have a couple that I'm real frustrated with right now, and I'm thinking, what the heck is going on? And so now I am definitely going to look at them.
It's not a big thing, but I don't think they're made like they used to be made. But they are still a bit firmer blade out there. I mean, you can't beat that. I mean, I've had speed teeth, I've had everything, and I like my Kermato. I don't have a Bravura. I just like my Kermato. It just does me well. The Arco, if you remember the Arco, when the battery charge went down and it slowed down, and then all of a sudden it started chewing the teeth too. But the Kermato and the Bravura, they have torque control in it, where it has the same speed until it runs out of juice, and then it dies right then.
Yes.
And mm-hmm. And I like that. It'll beep a couple times. It'll give you a chance to find the cord and plug it in to the dog or whatever you're doing.
Right.
With it.
Right.
I think you got 15 seconds when that thing starts beeping.
Mm-hmm.
While we're on the subject, I don't know if you know this, but your clipper instructions, what do you got, a Kermato, Bravura, what do you got?
Bravura.
Okay. In your clipper instructions for that, this is for everybody, not you. It says right in there, do not leave in the charger. Because you'll melt those batteries. You'll melt the cells in the battery. That's why they don't hold the charge. And my way of getting around that is I leave it in the charger, but I don't have the charger plugged in because they'll roll off the table. You bump your table, it'll roll off. You know, your stand, it'll roll right off. Or a mobile groomer. If it's not secured in that stand, the first corner you take, that thing's on the floor. But I keep the cord available, and when it's... when it's running down or I only got a light left, I'll keep the cord available. And I'm only doing small dogs over there for a day, and I don't do anything big. But if it cuts out, I just plug the cord in, finish the dog, and just leave it sit there and charge. You can still use it to charge, but just leave it charged, and when it's done, it'll beep and unplug it. And it's good for another. It's good for another. I don't know, whatever. This Kermato I got sitting here, I probably charged it last month. In June sometime, and I'm still checking blades with it every day, and it's not run down. I probably refurbish 50 blades a week in here, maybe more. Just depends on the season. But and if I go over work in the shop, I take it with me. I don't want to use their stuff. It's all slimy and dirty and nasty and everything. I want something good. You know, I don't want to grab something worth sticking into my hand. So I take it, and it's still holding the charge, and it's battery care. But I will admit, the Arco does say in there to keep it in the charger all the time, and I pointed that out to the company at one time. I'm a distributor for a while, and I pointed it out to them. They said, we'll get changing that one day, and I'm like, okay, you know, it's your batteries you got to replace. But these cordless trimmers and even cordless clippers, you can't leave them in a charging stand all the time. They just the battery cells deplete, and then they don't hold the charge memory in there, and sometimes when you grab them, they're hot. That ain't a good thing. Just something, you know, for everybody to listen to, and I hope you don't do that. You don't do that, do you? Leave it in a charging stand all the time?
No, I don't. Actually, I've got one of those holders on the wall that I just, you know, set it in upside down. Brackets that you can just screw into the wall, so the Bravura as well as my, you know, the full size clipper can just rest in there when I'm not using it. So I don't have to worry about it sitting in the charger or falling off the table.
Yeah. One other thing I'll mention is we have the wall plate here. Wall gave us the specs to their clipper plate for sharpening these things, and we do put the bottom plate on there. and we replace the cutter. Because we get them in here where people, I can tell where people have been using them all the time because they got a rut. That cutter cuts a line across there, and if you got to get that line out for it to cut again. And we have the wall specs for the plate here. It's almost flat. That blade's almost flat. You can't sharpen that blade on a machine that you do regular clipper blades on. It changes the angle so much that you can't use the wide. Yeah, you can't use the wide open setting or the setting next to it. Sometimes it changes the angle on it. And I get them in here sometimes. Or one time I had to replace that cutter or that bottom part because it was just so whacked out of shape and uneven from somebody doing it by hand on a clipper blade machine. It's not the same thing. And we got everything here, you know, just we got a machine dedicated for that, just to do the bottom part of that blade. So it shines it up nice with 600 grit, almost a mirror finish, and just like it comes from the factory. And we do a good job on them. And we put the suggestion out there, you know, if people want to follow them, they can. If they don't want to follow them, that's good too. You know, everybody's got their own way of growing. So but I put the suggestions on from what I found out over the years, and we'll have to go with that.
Well, wonderful. Thank you. I appreciate your help. It's there's a lot for me to check on now with my 5-in-1s.
Yeah, just look at it. Just open it up. Open the blade all the way up. Just look at it. See where those teeth are. Are the inside all? Is the whole tooth inside that bottom? You know, the hole from the bottom blade, or is just the tips? Or you know, and the first notch in from the back, you got no problem. No problems at all. I really get scared about people that 40 position because sometimes that blade hangs over the end and it'll cut you in a second. You don't even know it till it's bleeding all over the place. I'm a recipient of that myself.
I see. Okay, great. Well, thank you.
All right, there.
Okay, Judy. And
okay.
Judy, you're also in going to be in line here to win. We have four $25 gift certificates provided by PetGroomer.com that you can redeem with Jeff. And so I've got your phone number here, and if we draw your phone number, we'll get a hold of you and send you off one of those certificates.
Terrific. Thank you, Stephen. I appreciate your efforts that you give to all of us every day. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, too.
Bye, Judy.
Okay, Jeff, and I want to do tell everyone that if you can call in toll-free, if you have a question for Jeff, here's the number. You'll dial 1-877-537-3018. That's 877-537-3018, and that is toll-free from the 48 states. I was talking to two Australian groomers today, Jeff, who I know are listening in on the program right now. And, in fact, one of them, I do have some email questions that have been coming in for those that couldn't be listening live or on the phone at this time. One, what do you think, she's saying, why her blades just tend to get more gritty? Is she not cleaning her blades enough? Is that as simple as it is?
But gritty or dirty?
She used the word gritty.
Gritty. Okay, that grit, they won't get gritty. They won't get gritty grooming a dog unless they get into some sand. But that's, you know, not a lot of people get in sand country. Your blades can get gritty doing that too. You know, shaving down a dog before the bath or combed out or anything, you can't get sand in the blade. But gritty blades where it's black or gray, that comes from the sharpener. And we do a couple things down here that prevent that from happening because the same grit that sharpened that blade will dull it 6 inches into that group. It'll dull it right now. It'll start dragging, biting at the hair and everything. We brush them out of them. If you take them out of the machine, we brush them out like anybody else does. But we also air blow after we demagnetize them, and that relieves all the grit in its hiding places. There's so many hiding places in a clipper blade after you pull it off a machine with grit, and brushing it off with a toothbrush is good, but you can't get everything off of it, so we blow everything off of there. And that prevents that from happening. And you might not think it's there until you start it up or you oil it, you spray it with coolant or something. You put something wet on that blade and then start it up and go into the dog with it, you'll look at it, it'll be gritty, and it'll stop it from It'll stop it from cutting. You can get by if you see it when you first start it up. The initial time you see it up, you can wash it in blade wash and get that stuff off. I mean, push the cutter out to the side and scrub it with a toothbrush and some blade wash and get all that grit off. You can save it. But I don't know how long the cutting edges will last then, because the grit's already affected that. You might work a couple weeks with it, but gritty blades, that's the only way that it can be done, is a sharpener not cleaning that blade off. And it will stop you from grooming. It will.
Yeah, that
get them in here all the
definitely
time.
A problem she's having with the sharpener. No, Anne's from Sydney, Australia. You mentioned you do international, some client, where your work comes into you from international, what countries, where are you getting them from outside the U.S.?
I get stuff from New Zealand. I get stuff from Australia. I get stuff from Mexico, of course, Canada. I've never gotten anything from Great Britain, but they have sharpeners over in Great Britain. They have, I get emails from them folks over there all the time. They have grooming clubs over there in the U.K., and everybody's everybody's friend. And if somebody goes on a holiday, as they call it, they put their clients out to some other groomer in the club, and then they do their dogs. But they rely on my website for the information on there to maintain their equipment, because they have sharpeners. They don't use the clippers we use. They use German stuff and some Swedish stuff over there, runs on 220, and they're pound and a half clippers, and they really work well. I seen one sent me a picture. It looked like it almost looked like that. That German red clipper. It looked something like that, but it had a black case on it, and everything was metal lever, metal everything. She goes, "I never have to really do anything to it except clean it out, oil it." But their blades, they ship to somebody in London, but that's all they do is ship them there, and they ship them back, and their maintenance of that, they learned a lot from my website, especially how to clean them, how to keep the edge going, because it's expensive for them to get their stuff sharpened. Their scissors, I guess there's somebody that comes around and does a beauty scissors and does their scissors too, but the blades all have to go to one place. There's no mobile sharpeners over there in the UK that I know of.
Great. So, Annie, and when you listen to this show, just know that Jeff does accept service orders from Australia and already has established some of that business. So you might want to go to his site at northerntails.com and check out the information, how you can ship them, and maybe give Jeff a try and then compare it to what you're getting from your Sydney sharpener, as it looks like the sharpener is a key to your problem. Right, Jeff?
Could be. I could look at the blade and tell, but where is she at, in New Zealand or Australia or someplace?
She's Australia. She said Sydney. She's in Sydney, Australia.
That's probably there's probably a lot of sandy country over there. Could be getting in, coming in the coat, and that's probably why, she's getting that in
that's
there too.
Right.
If it's not
I was going to ask you. I just wonder if the pets coming off beaches and whatever are bringing some of that into it. Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
But if she's got some dirty country like that, I wouldn't use ceramic blades, because you'll fragment those and they'll stop cutting. Ceramic blades should be used on clean, combed out dogs. And they're not forgiving like steel is. Steel will push that sand out of the way and just keep right on chugging along. But ceramic blades, I learned a long time ago with those things. When they first came out, Anda sent me a whole set of them. Said, "Here, Jeff, use these in your shop." Well, I didn't know any different. I thought they were regular blades, And I had this old cocker. I took him outside to go to the bathroom, and I was talking to a customer, and his cocker sat down, and I talked to the customer, 5 or 10 minutes, took him back inside, and I had a ceramic 7. I was going to go down his back with that, and all of a sudden, it's all the hair jammed up, and I looked in there, it was just full of sand and hair. And I had to change the blade, put a real 7 on there and finish the job, but they don't take too well to sand at all, or any kind of dirt and coat. But I'm going to be posting some stuff about ceramic blades. I got a scope here that I can look at one blade, one tooth of the blade, and I found several of them where there are fragments in them, where I can show people what that looks like when you hit something nasty in the coat, like sand or clumped up dirt or anything like that. And it does take them out. It does cause them to start dragging, because you take that nice clean edge that's on each tooth, and that's like a paper, it's just as sharp as paper, and you take that and you make a sawtooth out of it, and it fragments out when you hit something like that, and it's glass. Ceramic is glass. And it, we try to sharpen that by trying to get enough glass off the bottom up over those fragmentations so we get that nice clean cut again, or where that tooth is nice and sharp again, like a sheet of paper, like the edge of a piece of paper. And sometimes it takes a lot. Depends on how fragmented it is. But we got a plate here for that, too, we just got. It's made by the Shop Incorporated. It's a diamond-coated plate. They're flat. And I haven't had the opportunity to do a ceramic cutter on it yet, but I tested one on there that I knew was all fragmented. It didn't work. And I put it on a blade, and it cut like a razor. So the plate does work. It takes all the work out of sharpening those things like we used to do. We used to use a diamond, a pad, or I used a 9-micron diamond slurry on a lapping plate and just keep going around and around and around in figure eights until I thought it was good, and then put it on a blade, try it. If it's still dragged, I take it off and do some more figure eights on here until I got enough glass off the bottom to make that edge, bring that edge back. But this thing here does it in seconds rather than minutes like I used to do. So we've excelled in that too. We've upgraded enough where we can do ceramic blades without any problems, and we can even out the teeth on them. There's something else too, the ceramic teeth. The tips of them, I get them in here broken. That's from sometimes it's from doing dirty dogs. Sometimes it's from dropping them. They're not as healthy as a lot of people think. They're pretty fragile. And if the wrong sharpener puts too much tension on them, putting them on a clipper, it'll split. So we try to keep it 2.5 pounds, just like the regular steel blades, 2.5 pounds of side pressure. You can move back and forth with your thumb. And if you put them on too tight, they will bust if you drop them. But they are a great blade. A lot of people like them. They heat down in them. You still have to oil them, though, because remember, ceramic sharpens steel. And when they go dull, what's happened is that ceramic cutter has shaved enough of the cutting edge off the teeth on the bottom blade where it won't cut anymore. And that's why they go dull. Keep them oiled. Keep them clean. They'll last a long time. I mean, they're a great blade, you know, but you just have to maintain them like anything else.
Well, let me go over, and before we leave Australia, by the way, I just wanted to give a shout-out to Magpie. She's one of our members, and I spoke with her today, and she and I were doing time conversions, international time conversions, so she knew what time to get on the show. So I think you're out there, Magpie. I just want to say hello, and thanks for being a member of Groomer Talk. Jeff, I've had a couple of people didn't know about, not everyone reads the board at every message and whatever, and you had this diamond carbide nail grinding wheel. Why don't you tell people a little bit about that and your experience with it?
This wheel is the same size as a cardboard wheel, and this wheel is for the tool and die industry. That's how I found it. When things get machined, they come out of the tool and die process, and these little grinding wheels take the burr off of it. So they don't have to run it through something else or do it by hand. It's an automatic thing. It comes out of the machine, and these little Dremel wheels, take the burr off of that. Those diamond wheels probably last a day in that process. We got some last year, 2012. We put them on our Dremels. Yeah, I think it was Easter weekend, and they're still going, grinding nails. They're 150 grit. The cardboard wheels are 60 or 80 grit. You could use them right in the tub. You can get them wet. They do heat up a little bit, but if you're doing them in a tub, they really don't heat up. We like to do nails in the tub because the nails are softer. You know, after they get bathed, the nails are a little bit softer, especially on big dogs. It's a little bit easier grinding on them. But the cardboard wheels aren't busting apart. We don't have that problem anymore. The sand isn't blowing in your face. And you can use them in snow. I wish I had them up north when I worked in my shop up there, because dogs would come in all the time for a nail trim. You have to dry their feet and get all the snow off of them. In fact, the snow helps this blade, or helps this wheel. It's a diamond carbide wheel. We haven't worn it out in a year. And we've dropped a few, bent the mantle, but mantles are easy to find. You just go to Lowe's or someplace and get a mantle, but it shuts you down until you find a new mantle. But they really are nice. If it gets too high, we have a cup of water someplace, you know, either on the table, on our not on the grooming table, but on a table next to it. You just stick the Dremel, stop it, stick that wheel in the water, cool it down in a second, and you go back to grinding. Little dogs don't have a problem on it. It's the big dogs. They have a problem with that thing getting pretty hot. But it saves a lot of time. And in 2012, we spent $104 on Dremel wheels, cardboard wheels. So I'm selling this thing for $20. It's been going over a year, almost a year and a half, saved us that much money. If it saved us $104 in 1 year, and it's still going, it's saving a lot of money. And the process of going out and looking. In this town right here, you can't find a Dremel wheel until the day they put them out, because we have 8 or 10 grooming shops here in Mobile. And you go look at that space over there where the Dremel wheels are, they're gone. The only way you can find one is one that's sitting there for $9 with a mantle on it. So this thing saves all that. It's a really nice wheel. And I sold a lot of them on Facebook. I sold a lot of them through Pet Groomer. And I'm going to a dog show this weekend. I'll be in New Orleans at a dog show. And all my customers from New Orleans, they all say they want one. And if I put one on my Dremel and hand it to somebody and they do some nails with it, they want one. Because it's a whole lot smoother. You can do anything with this. Even cat nails. It's not going to vibrate their paws. It's not going to do what the paper wheels did.
Great. So if someone has an interest, just know you can go to Jeff's website at northerntails.com, and there'll be order info there, correct?
Well, yeah. We take PayPal. We take credit cards. They can call me with all that. Or they can go to Facebook, the barter page, and get on there. We're advertising on there as well. It's a great product, and everybody's bought one, loved it. Some bought two. They want to put it on everything. It's great for mobile. You know, mobile groomers, it's great.
Now, I passed along an earlier email that I got from you with a question, and I don't have the name in front of me, but I want her to know she'll also be eligible for the drawing we're going to do for the gift certificate for sending this in. And I handed that over to you. It was about blade wash. Ironically, we've just had some messages on the board about alcohol as part of a blade wash. Can you discuss blade washes and what you think is best? Coming from your point of view as a sharpener?
Years ago, all we had was Oster blade wash, and that's all we had. That was it. And we didn't know about the barber side. The barber side had a product called H42, and that's what her question was about. Is H42 a good blade wash and how to use it? Yes, it is. It's got there's a lot of blade washes out there, and a lot of them make a mess on your blade. There's a lot of them that come off clean, and the ones that come off clean are H42. It's solvent-based. It'll clean anything that's on your blade. It's got 1% phenolphenol in it, which will kill any bacteria or any virus on that blade. It's got a small rust inhibitor in it. It's got a little silicone in it. I don't know how much silicone it is. It's just mentioned on the MSDS. But when you wash your blades in this stuff, I don't mean just run your clipper in it, but actually take the time and take the blade off the clipper and get a little bowl of this stuff and take a toothbrush in between the teeth of the blade. You're not gonna clean in between the teeth of a blade by running it on your clipper in it. Sometimes there's so much gunk on the inside of the teeth of a blade that it's hard for a blade to go through coat. You know, so all kinds of stuff in there. I scrape so much stuff off of blades in here just to get them to, you know, I know they're going to have problems with them if I don't scrape this stuff off. And it's, I don't know if they're wet shaving or what they're doing with it, but the inside of these blades are all caked up. And you can take a toothbrush with H42. It's solvent-based, and you can clean this out. And I show you how to do that on my website. I can do 15 blades in 2 minutes. And this stuff has a rust inhibitor in it, and with its disinfectant capabilities, you can just leave them wet on a towel overnight. It'll kill anything on the blade. And next morning, just wipe them off, put a little oil on there, and away you go. It comes off clean. Now, there's other products out there that, I don't know if I should mention their names or not, but they're sick. They feel oily and slimy. There's really no lubrication in those products. They're oily and slimy because they're made out of a whole different makeup. They're not solvent-based. They're made out of the oils and stuff out of citrus. It's a citrus-based chemical that they put in there. And it's safe. It's really safe. It's not going to burn. It's not going to do anything. I've read a couple of labels on those. I don't see anything about disinfectant. I don't see anything about rust inhibitor. I don't see anything like that on there, but I do see that it cleans blades, and they do clean blades. But if you leave that stuff on the blade, you'll notice that you get a lot of hair inside the spring. It just accumulates in there, where the H42 comes off clean. You don't have that problem. That's why I like the H42 better. And that was her question, you know, is H42 a good product to use? Alcohol draws moisture, and alcohol will actually rust your blades. It draws moisture, and I don't think it really cleans that well unless you get something like 2-propanol or something like that that's got a 2-carbon alcohol in it where it really stays on the blades a little thicker. But I wouldn't mess with alcohol cleaning blades. It'll evaporate. It really does do a good job, and it'll clean everything off, including your lubrication. So alcohol is not a good choice. It's better than nothing. Soap and water is better than nothing. Your power washer cleaning these blades is good. You know, stick it in between your teeth and blow all that gunk out of there. Anything's better than nothing. A lot of folks think that because that can of coolant says it cleans, lubricates, and everything else, that's all you need. Now you got to do something else. That coolant just rusts blades. It takes lubrication off of blades, and that's why you get that orange buildup on there. It's pet dander melt on it, and it'll lift that cutter up. And you think it's dull, but it's not. If you clean that stuff off daily, you can use coolant. It'll satisfy you. But I'm not an advocate of coolant either, as you know. But the H42 blade washer, I don't know who sells it. Ryan sells it. Groomer's Choice sells it. Everybody sells it, but I don't think Pet Edge sells it. But about everybody else sells it. You can go to Farm and Home and get it. Tractor Supply down the road here has got it. So it's in a lot of places, and it's really some good stuff. Barber Supply is a habit because it's part of the barber industry where it first originated from. And it's some really good stuff.
Jeff, let's move on to something. I had a question about what's involved with from the 5-in-1 blade by Wahl. You have a refurbish program, and what's that all about?
Refurbish program, we take your dull 5-in-1 blade, we bring it in here. If it's got broken tabs on it, we replace the spring deck. We take the bottom blade, and we put it on the machine here with the Wahl plate, and we make sure that it's to spec. Because most of the time when they come in here, they got grooves cut in them from that cutter. That cutter is a pretty tough cutter. And I can tell where people have been using it all the time just by where the rut is in that cutter. And if we don't put, or the rut is in the bottom blade, if we don't flatten that out, shine it up and buff it, they won't cut. So we have the Wahl plate in here, the Wahl specs. We put it on that plate. It's an automatic machine, just like the flipper blade machine. And it stays on there 20 seconds and comes off. 600 grit, it shines like a mirror, and we take that, clean it all out, put a brand new cutter on it from Wahl, just like we don't resharpen those things. We just put a brand new cutter on it, make sure the spring deck has got all the parts on it needs, the rear tab and the two posts that hold it on the clipper, and then we grease the notch and we test it. We test everything on hair in both positions, the 40 position and a 9 position. If it doesn't cut in the 9 position, I'll find a spring deck that'll make it work in a 9 position. So it's a pretty easy blade. Anybody can take that blade apart and put it together. There's no technique to that blade at all. It all fits like a puzzle. It's got notches there all the parts fit into. There's some springs that come down and hold the cutter onto the comb. And that's where that cleaning example I have is. I'm getting that hair up underneath the cutter because those springs that come down, just wire springs, that come down through little holes on the top of that cutter, and they hold the cutter down, but those they protrude under there, and they hold hair in there. And you get a lot of hair, it lifts the cutter up and starts dragging. So that was a big thing, and we put an example and some instructions on how to clean that out. Then the next thing was lubrication of them. I was sending them out lubricated, right, but I was getting them in where the cutter notches, we're all rounded out. Where, you know, you can wash them in about anything you want, but you still have to lubricate that cutter notch because the drive bearing, the drive post inside of the clipper, it doesn't revolve. It doesn't spin around. like a Sheltie comb. You know, the teeth on a Sheltie comb go around in a circle. This one here is solid. So it does produce heat and friction by pushing that cutter back and forth inside that plastic notch. So you have to lubricate it. And if you don't lubricate it, you can wear it out to where your blade will sound really loud, or it won't cut at all. And that's the only part that I can't replace on it, because they won't give me that part, that cutter notch, the cutter notch, or they just don't have it available. But I wish I could get some of those, because I get a lot of them in here that are questionable. And people give me old blades, old 5.1 blades that are all, you know, with broken bottom blades, broken teeth and stuff, and I use those cutter notches to put on blades that really need them, throw the old ones away. So anybody got any broken ones of those, just ship to me. I use the parts, and I don't charge them for that. I just, you know, they need a cutter notch, I'll stick it on there, because people are relying on these blades, and we try to do a good job getting them back to them, right in top condition. They're like new. We charge $10 to do that, and I think it's a new blade. I'm not making but a buck or two on it, and we're putting a lot of work into it. It's easier now that we have the wall plate. We're not doing it by hand, so they're coming out in spec. Everything's spec. You got the cutter that's in spec. The bottom blade's in spec. And as I said before, you can't sharpen that on a regular Clipper blade machine, because that's 35,000. This is like 3,000. They're almost flat, and that 9 position won't work on it if it's done on a Clipper blade machine. That's about it for that.
Okay, I've got another question. That came in from Cindy Johansson, I think it is, in San Jose. That's California. And she said that she's on her second Andis XL 5-speed, and just like one day, it just starts making a terrible sound, and she doesn't think it's the cord. She just wonders what the heck is going on. Is this common?
Sometimes it is. The XL 5-speed, I've got two of them in the shop over here, and the cords do go bad on them from being twisted around. Wall had the same one with the same kind of problem with their switch blades, and that blew in the storm. They had the same problems with that till they did away with the way the cord was made. There's two things that go wrong with that Clipper right off. The cord can start shorting out, or the motor sounds like it's only running on 3 cylinders. And the whole motor costs $30. And we replaced the whole motor in it. There's no parts for that motor. You have to replace the whole thing. It isn't like a regular Ultra Edge or anything like that, where you can do individual parts with it. But that's a pretty tough Clipper. I put that up against my Micro Mini. And it goes through stuff that, you know, the Ultra Edge laughs at. So it's a pretty powerful Clipper, and I'm glad she's got that. But I need to know a little bit more about what she's experiencing with it. That's about the only two things that go wrong with it. Did she say anything else about it?
No, just being noisy. I think it was, she also mentioned it was noisy.
Noisy. Now, if she get the blade on, that's a big thing there, too. If you don't put the blade on right, you have to push the latch up to put the blade on. Otherwise, it'll just sit there and buzz. Or if she's using a lot of guard combs, the guard combs will hit the sockets on her blade and spread them apart a little bit. Well, you get some blade rattle in it, and you can fix that right away by just taking a pair of pliers. There's an article on my website showing you how to do that, and a movie. Just take the pair of pliers and squeeze the socket ears together a little bit, and then put it on the Clipper and see if it quiets down. Guard combs do sometimes, depending on how big they are. Smaller guard combs don't. Larger guard combs can take that blade and the socket ears, spread them apart a little bit, and they'll get noisy.
Okay.
She listening to this now? You think she's listening to this?
No. Almost all these questions coming in were from people that are working and they can't be, you know, on the show at this time. So they listen later. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. All right. And I had someone ask if you're going to be at trade shows, and do you go to trade shows?
I used to do 4 dog shows a year, and I cut out because I'm 62. And I quit doing the mail or the on-site sharpening because It's just too hard on me. I have too much of a mail-in business now. I get between 40 and 60 boxes a week, and I can't do anything but that. Now, this week I'm going to the New Orleans show. I do two dog shows a year now, and they're right by the house. I can be home every night. One's in New Orleans. This show first started in 2005, the year Katrina hit here, and I've been doing the show ever since. It started out as one ring. It's a regular dog show. It's not a grooming show. It started out as one ring. This year we're going to have six rings with 1,500 entries. The next show I will do will be in the Biloxi show, and that will be September 1st through the 4th, and that's another dog show. It's not a grooming show. But those are the only two shows that I do, and they're right by the house where I get back to it. I've been asked so much about, I'm going to go to this show, are you going to be at Pet Fair, are you going to, be at the Expo? And I said, no, it's just too far. I can't, my customers are time dependent. I try to get these boxes out as fast as I can. I usually do a turnaround in 2 days here. So when you mail it to me, you get your box back from the day you mail it, anywhere from 7 to 11 days, depending on the post office. Our post office is closed down here on Saturdays now since the first of the year, so that adds a couple of days sometimes. But I'm sticking close to the house now, not on the road where I can get these boxes back out to people in a timely manner. And they appreciate that, and they really enjoy that. Their stuff cuts, and it's back there when they need it.
And Carol, you're in Arizona. If I read this, you didn't tell me where in Arizona, but Carol in Arizona wanted to know, she would like to get top quality nail clippers, but something that could be sharpened rather than, get stolen, just replace it and keep buying nail clippers. Based on your experience, she wanted to know, what are the best nail clippers that are out there and a type that you would also be able to service?
The best nail clippers out there are the orange-handled Miller's Forge. Everybody sells them. I even sell them. They come in two styles. They come in a large one. They come in a smaller handled one. I prefer the large ones because you can do small dogs with a big nail clipper, but you can't do big dogs with a little nail clipper. And everybody can sharpen those. We sharpen them here. We use a quarter-inch stone and sharpen those just like new. And I don't even charge to sharpen those. But I feel that... I was thinking, when I would sharpen those for free, I'm thinking about the cardboard wheels where if they would splinter, they would tear up the cardboard wheel. But if they have a diamond wheel, it wouldn't matter because those splinters, it just easily goes over that. But I do nail clippers for free because, especially in the summertime, you got the dogs coming in with all kind of dirt in their nails and everything, and they trash those nail clippers out pretty quick. So I just do them for free. I get them in boxes here all the time. It doesn't take but a second to do them. And it helps them. There's nothing better than going through a nail one time real quick. And instead of having to fight it, if there's any hesitation in cutting a nail, you know about it. I don't know if you ever cut nails, Stephen, but if you hesitate cutting through a nail, you know about it right now.
I did 15 years in the bathing department and as an assistant groomer, so I cut plenty of nails. Resco was number one, basically, back then. Because I'm going to date myself, we're going some time back when I was doing...
Lesco? I remember those. Lesco nail clippers? I remember those. Those are guillotine clippers,
Yeah, the guillotine. We didn't have a lot of choice back in the 60s.
Yeah, but back then, Stephen, they were made out of good stuff. They didn't wiggle around. They didn't bend all apart and everything like the guillotine ones today. Those are real good nail clippers. I've used them before, but today the best one going, you can get copies of it, with black handles on them and everything, but the metal isn't there. Miller's Forge actually puts time and puts the money into the metal where that edge will last a long time. And I've used them all, and those black handle ones, the green handle ones, red handle ones, they all dull out real quick, but the Miller's Forge seems to hang in there the longest.
Yeah. We're still, in fact, we just cut our pet's nails the other day, and I think that Resco that we have is like 40-some years old. We're still using the same.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. It's like an antique, but it still works.
Oh, yeah. All that stuff back then still works. My A2 clipper still works. I got an A2 clipper. That's what we got in our...
Still works.
Yeah, I take it to the shop now and then, and they say, get that thing out of here. It smells and it makes a lot of noise. They don't go fast, but I'll tell you what, they don't stop cutting. They're a pretty powerful clipper for what they were. They're heavy. They burn your hand. I mean, if it ain't burning your hand, it ain't working good. But it goes through stuff that, you know, sometimes the other clippers just laugh at. I just take it out there once in a while just to see if it runs anymore. I don't want the armature to get all messed up in it from sitting. And that's a pretty powerful clipper. You put wheels on it, do the yard. They don't believe that. You know, that's all we had back in that day. That's it.
Yeah, and it was more common to my dad, just a tremendously great groomer. But he loved his A2s, but he also, and in those times we did have to use the clipper boosters. And I know that they are so cautioned about doing that today, but there's not as much need because we just didn't have, you know, what the kind of range of what's available today in the clipper.
Oh, yeah.
We wouldn't really need the clipper boosters, but man, we did need clipper boosters back in those days. Yeah,
we didn't have a second. The clippers came at one speed. That was it. 3,000
RPM. That's right. Yeah. And back in that time, we pretty much just had Oster stand dryers, and you didn't have all these other choices.
We didn't have that. We didn't have a lot of choices of anything.
Yeah.
I wish we had something.
It wasn't a hard choice. Today, for grooming business and boss, I make these dramatic Excel spreadsheets with all the different choices of what you can get. Man, I could make that would be really small today if we took it back to the 60s, what you could buy to equip a place. You didn't hardly have any choices of what it was. But, as you're saying, most everything was made better.
It was
really quite solid, and a lot of those things still can be working, sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the clipper blades aren't the ones that were years ago, but if you take care of them, they can be. You know, they can last a long time if you take care of them.
So, Jeff, what do you think about the problem? Any solution still that, you know, it's very hard for grooming schools to give extensive training on maintenance of whether it's tools, the clippers, because students are still looking for moderated hours because the cost has gone up and up and up for what it takes to train and then tuition. So you're doing amazing at your website. I mean, there's no other sharpener I know of website that gives so much information there. And if someone is listening to this call for the first time and you haven't been to Jeff's website, realize there's a lot of articles in there. And, you know, we like to put some of them into eGroomer magazine, but people should go to your site. There's just so much, and you got YouTube videos on top of that.
Homemade videos.
I don't know any other way. When someone goes, well, shouldn't they be learning this in school? And I go, you know, if someone, I remember I used to have talks with Melissa Verplank, and we would agree that I don't want to go below 600 hours to train someone to be a groomer, because we all know even after 600 hours, you've got so much to learn. But now that is, you know, there's a lot of pressure to get schools down to 300 hours. I mean, that's going to cut into your time to sit, you know, they really should have X amount of hours in their tools and how to maintain them and whatever. So any other ideas other than what you're doing, how can we get that education? I mean, there's never still been something that even you could produce that is like, you know, this is this,
well,
that. Whatever on this, and take this course.
Yeah, I wish I could put a course together, but I do kind of put a course together in little segments if you're able to take the time and go through it. I give a disc to all my customers, and on that disc is a 3-part blade care series, how to change blade drives on Andes clippers, how to maintain your Oster clipper, how to maintain your lobby clipper, how to put a blade on all these clippers. Believe it or not, some don't know how to put a blade on properly, and they were never taught. But there's a reason for that, and I had a real nice chat with a lady over in Mississippi, had a grooming school, and she used to teach that stuff. She used to teach it years ago. She'd been had this grooming school for 30 some years over there. I would sharpen her students every now and then. And she said that it got so bad is because the girls, it was a money thing. She had to raise the prices, but they wanted to take things out like equipment care, animal CPR, things like that, you know, to pay for more grooming, you know, actual grooming hands-on. And so to keep the price down, they had to relinquish all these little programs in there. And one of them was blade care. They really didn't get involved in that too much, except showing you how to put a blade on, how to put a little oil on, and that was it. How to wipe your scissors off at night, that was the extent of it. So they got away from these other little programs in the grooming school to keep the cost down so they could spend more hands-on, and I could see that. My grooming school in 1981 cost me $600. I got taught how to break down a clipper. But that was then, this is now. Clippers were $29.95, blades were $3.95. You know, a big difference between then and there. But today, grooming schools can range anywhere from $1,000 to $6,000. And you have to look at what you're going to get out of that. And you want to be able to groom a dog when you get out of there and be confident not only in grooming a dog, but starting a business, you know. And they do teach you that in a lot of them. They teach you how to get into the grooming business, not just grooming the dog. And that's, nobody taught me that, but I learned how to groom a dog. I had a wife that taught me how to groom, you know, get into the grooming business. But what they took off of one end, they put on the other, and so that's why my website is the way it is. So the people, you know, even though they don't learn at a grooming school, they have an outlet where they can learn. And I get questions all the time. I get questions from sharpeners all the time. They call me all the time asking me things. How do you know all this that you put on your website? Well, 32 years of working with it. Yeah, you know, I learned a lot in 32 years. But new sharpeners that come online, they don't know what a ceramic blade does, how to sharpen it, what will cause it to fail. They call me and ask me. And groomers don't either. They still know that there's some things you have to do with them to maintain them. And rather than them learn by mistake or the hard way, I'd rather, you know, maybe learn it by reading an article that I have on a disc that I ship back to them, and taking the time to, you know, look through some of the movies, how to change a blade drive. That's their job. It's not a sharpener's job, because that blade drive can go anytime and nothing cuts. So you have to learn how to change it on the go. You can change a blade drive faster than you can put lipstick on, I think. So if you can adjust the seat in your car, you can put a blade drive on your clipper, and it'll save you a whole lot of time and a whole lot of grievance, because you don't know why a blade is acting the way it is. It could be just a blade drive, you know, something as simple as that. And they're not taught that, trust me. I had a girl that went to...
Jeff, I'd like to get something in on this, too, in that some people don't realize that there are differences between our equipment for people with a hairstylist versus the groomers. Can you explain a little bit? Because I'd like some of them to understand, because I've had some say, well, I've got all my tools from my hairstylist, you know, because I was a hairstylist, I'm becoming a groomer. And I said, I think you're going to want to invest in groomer tools.
Well, the hairstylist... grooming is the most aggressive form of hair care in the world. There's nothing more aggressive than this. Hairstylists, in fact, the dog hair has got 20 to 30 times more silica in it than human hair has, so it's harder to cut. It wears your equipment down a little bit faster. The stylists for human hair, they use vibrating clippers. Our hair isn't as tough. It isn't as it doesn't have the silica. It doesn't really need to be. It's not aggressive. It's not an aggressive form of hair care. They use vibrating clippers. They're using little 5-inch convex scissors to cut the hair. Their clientele isn't trying to bite them. Their clientele isn't pooping on their table. Isn't trying to get away from all time. Sometimes there's a fight going on between you and the dog, and they don't experience that stuff. And their equipment can't handle this. The vibrating clipper is only going to be used on a head that's maybe a square foot of hair, and it's washed. Most of the time it's washed, and most of the time you can run a comb through it, not a dog. You know, there's a whole different world here. And you can't take their stuff and use it. It'll work for a little while, but it isn't going to work forever, and it'll go down, and they'll wonder why. You might as well go get a clipper from Walmart, and it'll do the same thing. As some of those stylist clippers, those T-liners and stuff, you just can't use that stuff in this business. you need to get a real clipper, 35-watt motor in it, you know, outer edge or whatever. And it's used to maintain. It's made to maintain doing a dog that's got 9 square feet of hair on it, you know, tough as nails and sometimes dirty, sometimes not. It's a whole different scenario here. Scissors are different. We have 8 10-inch scissors, sometimes smaller. It just depends what you use. Sometimes I have hair people drop scissors off here to be sharpened, and they'll look at a scissor I got laying on the table and say, "My God, what do you use for that?" I said, "It's a dog, for a dog. Dogs, you cut dogs with that scissor?" "Yeah." I said, "I don't want to be there all day." I said, "I'll take a 10-inch scissor, and you know, I'll scissor a dog with this." "Well, I just use these little scissors here." I said, "Yeah, well, you're only messing with a head. I'm messing with a 4-foot dog sometimes." So
exactly.
They don't understand our business, and sometimes we don't understand theirs. But the equipment is completely different. I wouldn't mix and match them. Sometimes barbers use Oster 76s and 111s to take the same blade that you know, we use. But that's a barber. You know, he's just working on the same thing. You know, 1 square foot of hair and a couple minutes, he's done. But I would if you're going to get into the dog grooming business, I would get proper equipment. It's something that's going to last. It's not going to break down in the middle of the groom, or it's not going to break down, you know, a month down the road. Scissors, really good. Get some decent scissors. There's decent scissors out there for $40-$50 that'll do you a good job. You don't have to, you know, spend $19 at the beauty store and get those cheap plastic handle scissors, because they're not going to last. The dog hair is going to dull them out and in a hurry. So. And some of them do that. Some of them learn, and then they buy the new, you know, they buy the little bit more expensive all steel scissors that'll do them a good job. Then they buy the clippers that'll do them a good job.
Now, you've been doing mail order sharpening for quite a while now. Do you get some people? I've heard a couple a little bit hem-hawing going, "Oh, you mean is it really safe to send my equipment, you know, through the mail and whatever?" What's been your experience? It must have been quite successful, and it shouldn't be that big a concern. Yet it is to some people new to that concept.
Yeah, it's going to be new. It's going to be different to them because they're scared the first time. I would be too. You know, sending something off, not knowing this person, not knowing where it's going, how long it'll take. Is my stuff going to get lost? That's the biggest thing. The post office, I use strictly the post office. And the post office has so many ways of tracking a box, they can't lose it, really. In the last 10 years, I've lost 2 boxes, but they weren't lost. One of them came from Beaumont, Texas, and got shipped to Minneapolis first for some reason. And then it took time to get to me then. And then somebody put the wrong address on it. We couldn't find it, but they didn't put any tracking on it. Now all that stuff is put on there automatically. Track the box automatically. In fact, this weekend they started putting $50 worth of insurance on your box for free. It doesn't cost a dime. But,
and they have the automatic tracking now. Anything priority mail gets a tracking number now. You don't have to buy that delivery confirmation anymore.
Right. And it's unbelievable. You go to your computer or your tablet or your phone and track where your box is at. And it's really nice. And they have they've just come out this last year with regional boxes. We don't have to use it doesn't cost that much to ship it out anymore. And the cost comparison is to what's going to be happening out there on the road. People coming to your shop. I get horror stories. People call me on the phone. "I want to send you some stuff. We just got new sharpeners that come around here. They're charging $8 a blade, and they left, and the stuff don't work. They really don't know what they're doing," things like that. And one sharpener in Florida, this lady was so excited, she couldn't hardly talk to me about this guy. He charged $10 per groomer in there as a surcharge, plus their sharpening. So that doesn't make any sense. And there's so many sharpeners coming online now, mobile sharpeners, you know, because they've lost their job or got retired or whatever, and it's just, you know, they're hands over feet on one another out there on the road, charging anywhere from $7 to $9 a blade. So you got to look at it this way: the economy the way it is, we don't know what's going to happen in 2014. Our shop's losing customers, not losing customers, but the dogs aren't there like they were last year. and it's going to get worse next year. The economy's going to be that bad. Obamacare, whatever kind of care is going to come in there, people are going to be spending more money next year than they are this year. So are they going to have enough money for grooms? You know, if we hard sell a groom their next appointment, they're calling up a couple of days ahead of time, canceling out, saying they ain't got the money, going to move it out another couple of weeks, things like that. You know, that's going to start happening. So when you don't get the grooms, and people are charging $8 a blade, you don't have money. So it makes sense to maybe ship out where I'm only charging $5 a blade. I've always charged as less as I can, and I still make a little bit of profit. I'm not a cheap serving service. I'm an inexpensive one. You know, people that work here all have 20, 30 years grooming experience that help me tear down these blades. And they find things that are wrong and say, Jeff, look at this. You know, you need to call this lady, you know. I will. And it's going to be cheaper to mail it out than to have somebody stop at your shop and sharpen for $8 or $9 a blade and roll the dice whether or not it's going to cut or not. Same way with your scissors. I'm certified in about 5 different makes of scissors to sharpen them. And you just don't want to give your $300 or $400 flames to just anybody and it shows up at your door and says you can do it. You know, and that's been a problem. I get them in the mail all the time. This guy said he could sharpen his scissor, and it's a convex edge, and he put a kitchen edge on it, you know, a bevel edge. And I got to rehone this. You know, I fix it, but you know, they get weary of giving it to people that come to their door. You know, and so it might be a little bit better to ship out. My website is set up for the first time user. It explains everything. How to ship, what to ship in, my payment methods, what not to ship, what I sharpen, what I don't sharpen. There's even an article on there, I think you posted it one time, how to tell if a clipper blade is bad.
Yes.
Some don't know. They don't know. They just ship it, and I call them and say, you know, this blade wore out, you know, like 2 times ago. Oh, yeah, okay, well, just don't sharpen it, you know. But it's a training thing, and I put that stuff together so people can learn something. And so they can help themselves take a little bit more ownership, because clippers and blades are only part of your grooming. I mean, you can't groom without them. So your blades are one half of your cutting system, and your clippers the other. So we wanted to put some information out there where we can keep up with that, because it's going to cost more to get them fixed than it is to prevent them from breaking down. And that's mainly what my website's for. But I wouldn't be afraid to ship out to anybody. You can wrap your blades. We'll ship them back in a nice blade box. The post office isn't going to lose your box, trust me. They're not going to lose them. I don't know about UPS, but the post office hasn't lost a box. I've gotten all the boxes that didn't get to me. I got them a week or two later, but they did get to me. And as long as you pack it good, I don't think you'll have any problem shipping to anywhere, to any sharpener. I think that's going to be the going thing, because the mobile sharpeners are going to be charging outrageous prices to pay for that gas and pay for that road time, and maybe you'll get a good job done, maybe you won't. So at least he's here, you get a good job done at a decent price.
I want to recommend also in our, well, it's the current issue, although it'll be the past issue pretty quick, of eGroomer. It has Jody Murphy on the cover, and that article I really enjoyed about avoiding, because so many people are going cordless about the batteries. You mentioned a little bit to Judy, our caller from Florida, a while ago. And that, to me, is essential, because cordless, just everyone's getting at least one or two cordless now, and everyone should be reading that article. So it is an eGroomer. There's information at your site on, because a lot of the materials that come with the clipper do want to make it, for sake of ease, just, yeah, let it sit in the headset all the time. And that was an excellent article. And I just actually got a new camera, a new digital camera. And this has a rechargeable external battery. And I'm doing that, sort of what you do with the article now. I'm looking, because I got multiple backup batteries. And I'm trying the same kind of logic to see if it even applies to these kind of batteries for a camera. So to see if I'm going to get the maximum charge out and useful life out of that, rather than shortening it with a memory in there. Very interesting, essential, especially because we get a lot of beginners that listen to our calls. So they should know that the cordless batteries is a great issue. And and it's one you really covered so well in that article.
I learned by mistakes. I learned by mistakes, too.
Yep,
I learned everything.
I hear you. We learn from our mistakes. Actually, I'm going to let you go ahead. We've just an hour and a half has almost gone by here. Anything else on your mind? And definitely tell people how to get a hold of you, phone, web, and whatever. Go ahead.
One thing I want to mention, whenever you get a new piece of gear or a new soap or anything like that, read the label. Read the instructions. Read the instructions on it. Years ago, our clippers came with one little page of instructions that was mimeographed and throw it in there. Of course, everybody knew how to run it anyway. But today, our equipment's a little bit more technical. It's getting to be more technical. And just like you say, the batteries, the Bravura and the Permato both say right in there, big letters, do not leave in the charger because you'll disintegrate the battery. There's only four different types of rechargeable batteries out there. And when I researched that, they all said the same thing. Don't, have a constant charge on them all the time because you'll either melt the cell walls or you will create a memory in it, and then you got to replace it. But read the labels on everything. Read your instruction manuals on everything. One thing that's pointed out in the Andes instruction manual that comes with your clipper that nobody's ever read, I don't think they have, on one side of the page it says, do not use spray coolant. On the other side of the page it says, you have to oil your blade before, during, and after a groom. And spraying coolant on it is not good because it will make the blade not cut. It says that right in the instructions. And that's where I learned it. And, of course, I learned it other ways, too. I learned by failure and trashing my own stuff, eating up my clippers. But one time I had soap that I didn't read the label on. It was some great soap that come out of Wisconsin. And a groomer over there gave me this soap, and it worked fantastic in her shop. I brought it over to my shop. It wouldn't work. I called the company. They said, just increase the dosage. It was a 16-to-1 soap. I got up to about 22, 23, and then it would start to work. But my customers didn't like it because it had a fragrance with it, and they were taking the dog home, and the fragrance was killing them. So one day I was sitting there. I had nothing to do. I was sitting on the floor, put some cove around the tub, and I looked at the back of that bottle, and it said, don't use if your hardness of your water is over 25 parts. I had to water test it. I had 125. Mm-hmm. So I didn't read the label. I used gallons of this soap, and it was very expensive. And just for me not reading that label, I spent money down the drain. And after I got a conditioner in there, I'll tell you what, that soap just worked perfect. I mean, it had its own conditioner in there. You know, it had the water conditioned. But it had a conditioner in the soap where it would stay. You know, the hair would lay flat after a day or so. It had a nice fragrance to it. It washed the dog clean. It was an all-in-one. So just by not reading a label, how you can mix stuff together. You know, you might have one product that you're going to use, and another product doesn't mix with it, and it'll tell you that on the label. So there's a lot of things that are happening out there where people are learning the hard way from just not reading a label. And I would
like to add something. I can speak from great experience here. We're out on well water, and we're getting close to the end. But we had our water tested. We're in a volcanic area, the Cascades, the Northwest, and we had to put in a filtration system the acid reduction. All of our products work differently because we went back to, a pH balance. It's amazing how much the pH of the water can also affect, like you're saying, the hardness and the pH.
Oh, yes. It all makes a difference.
So, Jeff, why don't you go ahead and give people your information, your website and telephone, and we got to close the show.
All right. My website is northerntails.com, NORTHERNTAILS.com. It comes up on the mail-in service page. If you'd like to take a look at it, it'll show you how to ship stuff to me. It'll show you what we sharpen, what we don't sharpen, how to pack your box, what not to use to pack your box. From experience, I've got blades and Tupperware bowls with duct tape around it. I go through all how to ship it, so it's a safe shipping. You don't have to worry about anything. I share our payment methods. It's set up for the first-time user, so it'll make you comfortable about shipping things to us, and I say that right in the heading of the page. Read it all the way to the bottom. Phone number here is 251-232-5353. You can call anytime you want. unless you're in New Zealand. I think it's the middle of the night there. And you can text.
Actually,
you can text.
Middle afternoon.
Yeah. You can text, same phone number, or you can email me, jeff@northerntales.com. Or you can find me on Facebook. Just get on Facebook and hit Northern Tales, and I'll come up. And we can chat that way.
Tails like on a dog. So just make sure people, it's T-A-I-L-S, it's Tails like on our pooches. Okay, Jeff, right. I appreciate it. And, of course, anyone, you can always get a hold of petgroomer.com. We'll lead you over to Jeff if you need that. Just you'll find Jeff on many pages, and the community will get you a hold of Jeff. So thanks again. Always a wealth of information. I appreciate it.
Okay, Stephen, I had a great time here, and thank Judy for calling in. She was probably our only caller, and thank the rest of the folks
She's
for emailing.
She's our only caller and seven messages. So, by the way, those are what we're going to do is the ones that sent in the questions by email. And, Judy, I'll get a hold of you. We're going to have a drawing here. Good chance you guys are going to win, and I will follow up with them. Thank you very much, Jeff.
Okay, Stephen, thanks a lot.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.